Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
When they see him or hear his voice.
Yeah.
You know, like
I feel like I listened to him like so much when I was a kid, but he's only 4 years older than me. And so it's like it doesn't add up. You know what I mean? The math doesn't work on the timing.
The math doesn't math right.
It doesn't math right. Because I feel like I was 10 listening to him.
But you definitely
clearly
were.
I wasn't.
You
weren't. I must have been like in my 15 or 20 or whatever it may have been, but it feels like he's been rapping forever.
It does. But think about this hot take world, right? Like you'll find somebody who doesn't like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Taylor Swift. I don't think I've ever met anybody that when Snoop Dogg comes on, either on the radio or whatever, even on a TV screen, who doesn't smile and enjoy Snoop?
That's right.
And like all ages, like it doesn't matter.
Right. And now that it's okay, legal in most states to blaze one.
Oh, Snoop was ahead of the game.
I love it even more.
Yeah, Snoop was ahead of the game. 888-808-1019. All right. It is that time. There's only a couple more of these, by the way, right? For me, four more?
No. What do you mean four more? Two more years of it. You said last week.
Cinco de Fivos?
No, but Cinco de Lancho is going to be what, Sean?
I don't know. We might tinker with it.
No, you won't.
Yeah,
I bet you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't.
Well, for the dinner audience, one of the last four Cinco de Fivos is now.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless. Collect. Woo! Cinco de Fivo is brought to
ready
you.
Ready for Christmas?
I am, man. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Couple days not doing it, and suddenly I had a real brain freeze there. All right. I have done The Breakfast with Santa. I've done a million of these movies. I've done all the stupid kids' school events, and I love my kids. I think I got a good read on this. It's 2025. I'm here to give you the updated list of the top five Christmas characters currently that are relevant in pop culture. All right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Number five is Rudolph. I mean, that red-nosed reindeer is still relevant, but Rudolph used to be right there with Santa. That blinking red nose. Kids don't care about Rudolph anymore, folks.
So he's not the most famous reindeer of all anymore.
I think he's still the most famous reindeer, but I think kids are caring less and less about the reindeer these days.
Do they think that Santa doesn't have reindeer and it's just battery powered? Because we're in like that kind of age, you know.
Technology
what I mean?
Might take over, but I you know, even in terms of sweaters and, you know, paraphernalia, Rudolph not getting a lot of run with the kids these days. He's falling back, still there, but he's trailing, going to five. All right, here we go.
I don't hear the
number four.
No!
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
You don't sing that anymore. You don't hear it anymore.
I don't hear it ever.
So Rudolph's falling back a little bit. Number four for me, Frosty. I thought Frosty was fading, would have been at number five last year. A little comeback. I'm noticing more Frosty lawn decorations again. He's making a little bounce back.
Yeah, but it could just be a random snowman.
No, you know Frosty with that top hat. And what is Frosty's favorite two words to say? Happy birthday.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
I don't remember that.
Oh, that's Frosty's thing. Every time you put the hat on. Happy birthday.
In the cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, because he's being reborn.
Oh, my God. I never realized that. You're right. That's why he says it.
He's just a piece of of frozen water until he puts the hat on.
You just blew my mind. You're right. That's why he says happy birthday.
Yes.
Or he has amnesia.
Holy crap.
It's good to have a smart person on this
oh,
show.
Oh, you're so
we'd be Teague, we'd be lost. We'd do 45 minutes trying to figure this out.
You just blew my mind. I have a lot of mental issues. All right, where were we? All right, here we go.
Number three.
Big bounce back year for elves. I know elves on a shelf are big.
No doubt about it.
But like even people dressing at some of these Christmas parties, the Santa Claus, elves are back in.
Now, is it Will Ferrell elf or like the traditional elf?
Both. Mm-hmm. Pointed ear or not.
Probably influenced by elf.
Yes. But elves are back in, man. They really are. All right, here we go.
Number two.
For the first time, I'm declaring this. Santa Claus is no longer the number one Christmas character figure in the world. It has been 100 years of Santa, and I think I truly believe he has slipped to two because...
Number one.
The Grinch.
The Grinch?
The Grinch, if you look at decorations across houses, if you look at what kids want to dress at, watch all of these NFL games where Santa used to be the number one outfit these maniacs showed up to games at. Every game this weekend, I'm getting a million Grinches in the crowd.
That's true.
You know why? The Grinch.
Because the costume is full body. And it's probably very warm.
Probably true. Even like we get, I don't know if you guys get this. Maybe it's a Long Island thing. The fire trucks always come with Santa.
Yes, okay. We had one come the other day.
They've added the Grinch.
Tegan took a picture with Santa.
That's great.
Off the fire truck.
See, I think that's great. I love when the communities do that. But dude, the Grinch is joining Santa. The Grinch used to be this like scary thing you didn't want around kids. Now everybody wants the Grinch involved.
And I wonder why, because I know there's a recent cartoon, but not that recent. Like why the resurgence or even the surgence of the Grinch?
I have a theory. When the Grinch came out when a lot of us were younger.
The cartoon.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that was early 2000s.
The cartoon had been around for a while.
Right? And I think what's happened with the Grinch is those who liked the Grinch as a kid are now parents. And they are re-showing that, and it's taken off with kids now.
The Jim Carrey one.
The Jim Carrey one. And I think the Grinch itself has had a rebirth with people now being old enough to go, like, that was my favorite movie when I was a kid, and adults didn't really love it. But now I'm an adult, and I love it. I'm going to teach my kids to love it.
That's the one where he's, what's her name?
Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who.
And she's like, you're the... And he's like, duh, Grinch.
Yeah. And Max is a great dog. Yeah. It's a great movie.
It is a good movie. I forgot that he said I dropped out of school when I was 8, though.
Yeah. You got to watch it again. What's it?
No, I think the Jim Carrey version sucks. But that's just me. That's my opinion. I like the story.
Why does it suck? Because he's too much of a physical comedian?
I think it's not funny. I don't like it.
Well, he's mean. Like, he plays it really mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes it... He's the Grinch.
Yeah, there are a couple of funny, like, lines, but I think overall dialogue, acting, comedy, it's just not good. Mm. I like the story because I like the idea of everybody that thinks is the villain is really not. You know what I mean? And they do a better job of that in the Jim Carrey because it's long-form version. Mm-hmm. Other than the cartoon, you don't really know the backstory and the arc. But
there's another Grinch plot hole that's gotten to me. The Grinch lives up on this mountain overlooking the Whoville.
Yeah.
Right? The garbage man. It's like Staten Island, right?
Yeah.
Basically,
no, it's
lives
like,
up there.
It's like Charlottesville. It's like UVA.
Exactly. All right. Well, you with this story. That's such a fib. So the Grinch lives up there, and we know that he gets down with the sled and all
Theodore
that stuff.
Theodore Geisel wanted to go to UVA.
Oh, what a lie. You made me believe.
So he got rejected.
Tiki, I went home with that information.
And so he wrote the Grinch, and he's like, the who's in Whoville.
Yes. That's so Wahoo, Wah, all that stuff. Tiki made me believe.
Legend.
That legend was true. I went home with that information. I got my ass kicked. How the hell does Cindy Lou Who get up that mountain and knock on the Grinch's door? How does she get up there?
It's a good question.
Little girl's hiking that high up. He can only get down with his sled. How does Cindy Lou Who get up there? They never address that in the movie.
How does he get back up there?
But at least you want to tell me he's a mountain climber and a hiker? I'll make that leap of faith.
Right. Well, I mean, he lives up there, so obviously he has to know a way to get up there.
How does a little girl get up there? Mm.
Ski lift.
Where's the ski lift?
That's a good question.
The Grinch wouldn't build a ski lift.
It's a solid question.
Thank you.
What, did she grow wings? She obviously figured a way up the mountain.
I think that they made...
Or maybe she's magic.
Ooh. Cindy Lou Who is magic?
Maybe. You never know.
It's that roast beast that she eats.
Mm. Yeah,
or they just took creative license. And
they did took creative license, but I'm hip to that. I just want things to make sense. 888-808-1019. Kenny on Long Island. Kenny, what's up?
Two movies that are good Christmas movies. The first one is Feast of the Seven Fishes. I think it's an actual movie. Yes.
Huh.
It's actually really good. It takes place in Pennsylvania. It's got a pretty good cast.
Oh, 2019. I'm looking at it right now.
What? I never heard of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really good. And the other one, I don't know if you consider it a Christmas movie, but the movie ends at Christmas, is The Green Book.
The Green Book, it was a very good movie a few years ago. I think he was, he was the driver.
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen.
Yes.
Yes.
And
great movie.
And at the end, it ends at that restaurant Christmas time. Excellent movie. Don't view it as a Christmas movie.
No, it's like saying Die Hard or
I forgot about that movie. That was a really well-written movie. You ever saw The Green Book?
No, I didn't. I'm looking at it now with Viggo and...
Was it Mahershala Ali?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was very good. But no, again, not. That's like saying Die Hard's a Christmas movie because it takes place around the time.
Yeah, or Gremlins or one of the other ones.
Nah. And we're not doing the Die Hard call, so don't bother. 888-808-1019. Mark in Manhattan. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, Tiki, I got a quick question for you in your broadcasting career.
Yeah, man.
But before that, you know, this is the third time I've called, and your boys have never retired your number 21 on the wall next to A-Rod. I know I don't want to leave your show without this is the third time. And, I don't know what the hell.
Maybe
they got to do something.
Well, no, they're going to redo all of these studios. It'll be fresh at some point. Probably not until the summer, but right now, yeah. Sean, why are you disrespecting me, dude?
I mean, Tiki, we still got three shows left. You don't know what we have planned up our sleeves. You never know.
Good. Well, Tiki, keep them to that. You know,
right? I will.
He always has excuses.
Keep him.
Always have excuses.
Look, I love your broadcasting, Tiki, and I've always been curious. What's the pros and cons? What do you prefer, the two-man booth or the three-man booth? You're great at both, but I've always been curious. You said today was a little free-for-all in subject matter.
Yeah.
So I've always been curious about which one you prefer.
Yeah, I don't mind either of them. The two-man booth just allows an individual, in this case, so you're talking about me, to shape the narrative that I want in a game. So just so quick insight. Like when you go into a TV broadcast, it's very different than a radio broadcast. Because a radio broadcast, which I also do, you have to describe what happened. So play-by-play announcer says, first down, quarterback, short right to whatever the receiver's name is, he picks up 5 yards. Right. As the analyst now, I can't describe what you're not seeing. Oh. So I have to tell you what just happened. So they went to the short motion. You get a good block out front by XY, and this is why the play was successful.
It's more painting the picture.
Exactly. Whereas a TV broadcast, you go into the game because there's so many elements that are pre-planned and so many like stats and boards that get thrown up on the screen. And you create the story before the game happens. And then you hope that you've studied and crafted it correctly so that the game follows that script. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah.
Oh, I think that, I don't know, Pat Mahomes is going to do this today, and this is what's going to be the key. And you craft the broadcast, the boards and the screenshots and all those things to fit that story. If it doesn't happen, you just can't. But when you're in a two-man booth, it's my story to tell. So you can start the game by getting a little bit of that story. Then by the third quarter, second quarter, you put a little bit more edge on that story.
You have time to build it.
You build it. In a three-man booth, it's really the play-by-play guy and then the two analysts having a conversation. And so it's different. You're not really building the story. You're just talking about the game. It's like we're sitting at a bar.
Right.
Like you and I watching a game, and it's like, man, did you just see that? And you'd be like, oh, yeah, that was awesome. That happened because XYZ, blah, 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 blah. So it's a different dynamic. I really enjoyed the two-man. The first time I did a three-man booth was with my brother. And it was when he was working at Fox. And I think our first game was Bucks-Giants.
Yeah, I think they did that, right?
I think that's why they did it. And so it was awesome. The challenge with Rondé, for the listener, because you're not seeing us all the time, is that back then our voices sounded a lot alike.
Yeah, it was like me and Loogie.
Yeah, you couldn't tell who was saying what. Now, it didn't really matter, but you couldn't differentiate us.
That Rondé hates the Giants.
Exactly. That wasn't Rondé.
That wasn't Rondé. 888-808-1019. Anthony in Tampa. Anthony, what's up?
Gentlemen, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Actually, not in Tampa, back up home for the holidays. Huh. Couple quick things for you. Sean, I love when Joe B calls in. I hope you take this with the spirit I'm attending it, because I love what happens is you completely lose your radio voice and you go into New York accent. Sean,
do
great.
I
love it. You sound like me.
That's funny.
I Joe B it up. That's great. That's great. Good call.
You do. It's great, and I love everything about it. Number two, you left one of my favorites off the list, which is Jingle All the Way. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger in A Christmas Movie is fantastic.
And with Sinbad.
I don't know if you... Yeah, oh, it's great. I love it. My kids go crazy with all the one-liners. They're quoting it often. The third thing, the Cinco de Five-O got me thinking a little bit. I don't know if you've seen these conspiracy theories, but some people seem to think that Jack Skellington and his dog are the Grinch and his dog.
Oh, from A Nightmare Before Christmas. Interesting. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive on that when I have some time, that they are the same people.
Huh. Now I got to...
Oh, I love that one.
That is a good one.
That is a good... That's a good rabbit hole.
Who has that much time on the internet to come up with that theory?
I guess... Al Dukes.
You're right. That is an Al Dukes thought. So Tiki will go down that rabbit hole. Jose in Rockland County. Jose, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing? I was channel surfing, and I heard you had a question about how Cindy Lou Who got to the top of Mount Crumpet.
Yeah.
There's a chute that the garbage chute, and it shoots all the garbage up to the top of Mount Crumpet. That's how the Grinch first gets into Whoville at the beginning of the movie, and that's how he gets back, and that's how Cindy Lou gets up to the top of the mountain.
Oh, so she followed him?
No, she just found the chute. She found the trash chute.
There's
a scene that has her shooting out the end of the chute, and she lands all up in the garbage.
Jose, that's a great call. I missed that. All these times watching The Grinch, I missed that. It's a garbage chute up there because it is a garbage dump.
She's Andy Dufresne escaping from Shawshank.
She figured it out. Yeah. Is this going to happen here? This is incredible. So for nobody that cares, I had the over in Louisville, Toledo today, the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yes.
It was 44.5. About 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. This game is 14-11. The over is dead at 25 points.
Yes.
It is now 27-16 with 2 minutes left, and Toledo looking to score a meaningless score here. Any points put me over for the game.
Any points.
Any points, which they're about to get. Yeah, I hit the over. A touchdown in real time. Boca Raton Bowl over, a Christmas miracle, Tiki. That over was dead. That's why we love bowl games this time of year. 44.5, Tommy, I bet it pre-show.
No overs are dead in college football, Sean.
That's
you should know
true.
Better.
They have scored like 28 points in 4 minutes.
No, you're right. It was 14-11. It was like nothing. It was no chance that they were getting close to this. Like 8 minutes ago.
8 minutes ago. And you know when I used to do these the pools or whatever? You know when I got first introduced to betting bowl games, which is real degenerate?
What's it?
Mike Francesa. You want to hear this story? Mike Francesa? The first time Mike Francesa ever said a word to me, I had just gotten hired, fall of 2010. I was an intern. It's the very first shift I'm getting paid for to cut highlights on. And the Pinstripe Bowl that year is Syracuse, Kansas State, and we're about to have a Nick game on TNT. So, Tiki, I'm out in that newsroom. I'm trying to find TNT on DirecTV because my biggest job is to cut Nick's highlights. It meant everything. I'm getting paid for the first time by WFAN. I shut off the end of the Pinstripe Bowl on all the TVs to put the Nick game on like 45 minutes before the Nick game starts. There is like a crazy, controversial, excessive celebration penalty that happens in this game. And Francesa comes storming out of the studio in the break, and it's like me and Adam the Bull out there.
Okay.
And he's just, can you believe this? Bleep and bleep, bleep, bleep.
What's wrong with you people?
He's upset. And he goes to turn to the TV, and he sees me holding the remote and like Buffy the Vampire Slayer on because it was TNT before Nick game. And he looks at me dead in the eye and goes, kid, you're not even watching the bleeping game. I didn't know what the hell he cared so much about the Pinstripe Bowl. I walked back in, and Adam the Bull looked at me, and he goes, Mike had the under. Or whatever, the over. And I was like, oh, Mike's betting the Pinstripe Bowl. And that was my first introduction to, oh, it's totally sane to bet bowl games.
And so now you just made some money.
And I thought I was dead in my career there. I thought Francesa thinks I don't watch games now. Oh, right. He's going to hate me. It was over. And now I'm sitting here doing afternoon drive betting the Boca Raton Bowl in honor these years later. So we've really come full circle.
Good for you.
Connor Hughes tweeted just about an hour ago. Somebody asked him about like what the Jets can offer. And his response was, if the Giants have one, and the packages are close, they won't go Jets. Jets will need to pay a premium. What?
Why?
I don't understand that. To me, whoever gives you the best offer, if you're the New York Giants, you make the trade for. If it's neck and neck, ultimately there's still somebody who has the better offer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what, there's a better offer.
And you're helping yourself.
Right. I'm not making a better deal with the Jets, and they need to pay an extra premium on top of that because they're the Jets. Like, is he insinuating that the Giants would look bad if the Jets take Mendoza and he's just like, he's Peyton Manning?
He's legendary, and he helps them become great.
But Tiki, I would argue, they look in the NFL with only 32 teams, they look bad anyway if Dart's not good and Mendoza's awesome no matter where he goes. What does it matter if he's the Jet?
No, it doesn't matter. But it's also helping the Jets get the one player that they think they need and they highly desire.
I'm farming my own land. Let's say the deals are equal and one team has a higher pick than the other team and like that's my version of a better trade, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
Whatever the best package is.
Like if it's the Raiders.
Yeah. So if the Raiders offer the same amount of ones, let's just say they offer 3 years out worth of ones instead of like two in 1 year. And they're picking two and I could fall back to two, then I'm doing that deal.
Yeah, because that's the better deal.
That's the better deal.
It allows you to be in position to take whoever you want to.
Yeah, if it's a slightly better deal from the Jets and it's a comparable, I'm not making a trade with the Jets. They need to pay an extra premium because of the Jets.
Right.
I hope the Giants aren't operating that way. They should just be operating, take the best. First of all, let's get the one because we've seen the Giants ruin this in fast years. I've waited all show, Tiki. Where are you at with this?
It's interesting because it's weak. So when I watch these games, and I know they're losing and they're going to...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Blues.
Okay.
I used to get upset.
Right.
Like the Denver game is the prime example. I was just annoyed because you should be winning and now you're creating a loss. It's the whole snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yes.
Right. That's what the Giants were doing. And it would upset me because I feel they're a good team.
Right.
And they just don't know how to win. And so a good makeup of rosters, because they're not a good team.
Right.
Because when you're 2-13, you're not a good team. But you know what I mean? Like, there's good players on this team.
Yes, clearly.
And there's competency to win games. And they find ways to lose. It would upset me. Now, at this point of the season, it still upsets me when I start talking about, like when I get in the post game, I get frustrated by the Darius Slayton drop or the Theo Johnson drop or whatever the
certain play calls.
Right. The sequence of play calls. And why is Jackson Dart only throwing the ball 11 times? And, you know, you're in a winnable game, why are you going for it on 4th and 5 inside the 10-yard line? It just doesn't make sense. You knew points were going to be a premium. Once I start talking about it, I get annoyed. I get re-annoyed. But I'm not upset with the loss.
Okay.
So the difference is I used to be upset with the loss because I thought this team could win not a lot of games. Right. I thought they could win 7 or 8 games. And now it's just kind of like, all right, this is just who you are as a team right now, as a coaching staff. And I get encouraged by little things like Abdul Carter coming along.
Yes.
Brian Burns being an elite edge rusher in this league, even though he got a freebie last weekend and nobody blocked him. But I take solace in now the little successes.
Okay. Because for the past couple of years, we have all argued ad nauseum about, and we hate the words.
But I still want to win.
Okay, you still want to win. So this is what I was going to say. If we could eliminate the word tanking, but just the idea of like what's in the best interest of the Giants. Deferred winning. We would scream and yell about the quarterback in past years. This is now a completely different scenario. And yeah. I said on this show in August, said I don't care what the Giants season has, as long as Jackson Dart looks the guy like capable, I would rather win the games at the end to have Jackson Dart build confidence.
Yes.
I think
that's true.
I still felt that way until last week.
Why?
Because
it looked so inept.
Because I think Jackson Dart to this point has proven enough to me that I think with competent coaching, he will be a good quarterback. And I'm convinced more than ever Mike Kafka is now holding him back, and I don't know if it's protecting his health or whatever. Yeah. I think that Mike Kafka's gone no matter what, and I think there's a lot of guys who've experienced enough losing. I don't think winning any of these games the last 2 weeks matters in terms of the locker room and culture anymore, where I kind of bought into that with you.
Yeah.
I think that's so far gone, and I think a new coach...
Well, in previous years, it was different.
Because Brian Daboll was here and you were building something.
Yes.
Knowing a new coach is coming in to create a new culture anyway...
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as much.
It doesn't matter. And I also think something changed that I didn't think of, and I never thought I would get there. Knowing the Giants won't take a quarterback in the hole on the Jackson Dart, not having the pressure of, you got to lose because you need to get Mendoza number one, and instead going, you know, you lose, and you'll take advantage of the team we used to be
trading potentially. Up. Potentially you'll take advantage.
Potentially. Now, they might make out anyway. And I just look at it this way. What is better for the New York Giants in April? Having one first-round pick that's in the top five, or having over the next 2 years, 3 first-round picks.
Right. Yeah.
I've come around to the fact that...
Well, especially when you lack cap space this year. You need draft picks.
So I want to make this clear. I'm not going to sit down and root for the Raiders to win a game study because the rooting thing is weird.
Yeah.
But I'm no longer pissed off or anything.
I'm not either. Now, the thing, the reality is, if the Giants mess around and beat the Raiders and then beat the Cowboys in week 18 and now they're 4-13... And they're picking 7th or 6th or whatever the heck it ends up being. Like, some people will be pissed off because of the missed opportunity of what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But to me, you're still picking in the top 10. You're still picking one of the really good players in this draft. And whether that's Arvell Reese, who's this linebacker from Ohio State, whether it's Carnell Tate, who is the wide receiver that we were talking about from Ohio State, whatever the need is, you take the best player for your specific need. I think the Giants are going to be better off. So next year, just by having the ability to draft a baller.
I think they've clinched top 7.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Either way, they're getting a baller out of it.
Right. You just want to be able to get multiple of them.
Because it's the... I told you. I mentioned this Tiki earlier. This Bucks documentary, I'm so locked into. I'm watching through a Giant lens. Warren Sapp, they swear in Tampa, smoking weed and falling, made them trade out of their spot and get an extra... Because they
went and got him.
And then they ended up picking him anyway as the fall continued. So they didn't want to take him at 8. They fall back to 12. They got 2 extra 2s. They use those 2s to get back in the first round and take Derek Brooks. They don't get both of those guys. They have 2 first-round picks as a result of somebody falling. The Giants could have 2 first-round picks just by losing these games.
Yeah.
And if they got Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks.
Potentially, because they're still going to have to trade those picks.
They're going to have to trade the
pick.
And I think we all agree if they get the number one, they're going to trade it. Now what they get anyway, it's convinced me more than ever. I'm going to have a tough time sitting there and I won't actually root against them, but I know that losing to the Raiders is in the best interest of the long-term team because you're not worried about the head coach currently having this job.
No, you're not because nothing's carrying over.
What a weird
spot. The individuals are doing matters.
Yeah.
Like what Abdul Carter is doing.
Dart.
Dart, that stuff matters. Tyrone Tracy, even, because he's had a couple of really good games, grinding out, you know, good games with, you know,
and now
not a ton of other offensive production.
I guess Marcus Bowe will matter now, too. You want to see his development without Andrew Thomas?
100%. So if you get positives from those guys and it carries over in the next year, then it's not all loss, despite the crap that we've seen on Sundays.
Is there a chance that we look back at the Giants losing, Giants Raiders ends up being the most important game for this organization since Super Bowl 46, if they lost? Like in hindsight afterwards?
I mean, again, it's going to depend on who you draft.
Who you draft? No, I understand.
Right. And then whether or not that guy turns out to be a guy.
I completely agree. There's 15 steps down the road.
Yeah.
But there is a chance we look back and go, damn, that ended up being a big deal.
I just want good players.
I agree. Right?
It's interesting because when we were talking after the show, the post-game show on Sunday, Paul Dottino brought up such a good point regarding Eli. So when Eli was drafted in 2004, we had a very veteran team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's young quarterback. We all know the struggles in 2004. Figured it out at the end against Dallas, and really last drive of the game, he did it all on his own, and it was awesome. The next year, we won 10 games, right?
Yeah.
And what was the reason? Because we got healthy. I was on that team.
Yeah.
Amani Toomer was on that team. Ike Hillier was on that team.
Shockey
was on that team. Offensively, and it was the makings of a young core of an offensive line that played together for, I don't know, like a decade, it felt like, with Snee and Soyberg and Richie and all those guys. And so I feel like the infrastructure around a young Eli was so much better than the infrastructure around a young Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And so,
the
and so
only
until
two guys
you get that right.
Yeah, it's not going to.
It like, does it matter?
So I'm with you, but the fastest way to get that right is to get as many darts at the dartboard as possible.
True, but the problem is they're young. They're going to be young.
They're young. But, you know.
And you know me, I hate rookies.
So they're going to be young. I agree. But then how about spend the free agency dollars wisely? Don't give Darius Slayton guaranteed money.
Yeah.
You know, but those are all questions we'll have, and we'll see what free agents they retain. But all eyes on that. Kevin Harlan on the call on CBS Sunday, who was also on the radio call of Super Bowl 42 and 46. So maybe on the call of three of the most important games in Giants franchise history. What were you going to say, Tommy?
If the Giants win on Sunday, there's only one person we should all blame. Chris McMonagle.
Why? What did he do?
Because he had to open his big mouth. Jackson Dart.
About the Jackson Dart
liked
stuff.
Follow the bouncing ball here. And now all of a sudden the Giants have to play damage control and they're going to unleash Jackson Dart in this friggin' game. They're going to win. Everybody out there, blame Chris McMonagle. Why couldn't you just talk about the Yankees again for the thousandth time? Had to open your mouth. We were smooth sailing. The plan was in place.
Well, the good news is the Giants don't typically win games anyway, and they rarely win games when Andrew Thomas is out. So
it helps.
Right,
it and that, help. That final week of the year. By the way, a lot of people think it's going to be Tiki's boy, Joe Milton. Dak Prescott's playing that final game of the season. Why not? To put up more numbers? Yeah. I don't think the Cowboys are laying their sword down the final week.
Probably not. And also,
he's actually had a good year.
He's had a great year, and like you're going to want to put up. And by the way, Cowboy fans are going to still go to that game because why not? It's a chance to see your team.
And remember this about the end of the year with some of these players.
And they can get over 500.
Yep, incentives.
Or get and Brian, 2-500. They get 2-500.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Schottenheimer is going to want that. And incentives. I don't know what Dak Prescott's got incentive-wise.
Yeah, Pickens, maybe. Pickens. He's playing for a contract. So Dallas is full throttle. This is the game. They have to lose this game. There's no question. So I'm blaming McMonagle if the Giants win.
And if the
I think you have to fill all your holes.
And if the Raiders win this game, this is the other thing. Raiders could win that last game of the year, too.
They could
get forward. They're playing the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Chiefs are starting Luke Gower a quarterback these last two games. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? It was like somebody created a player in Madden when he came off the bench. I'd never even heard. I watched college football. I never heard of the guy. I still can't say his name.
We were discussing him yesterday, and none of us have heard of him.
Oladokun?
I believe that's how you say it.
I saw the back of his jersey come off the sideline Sunday, and I went, who the hell is that?
Played at South Dakota State?
Garden hoser. Warm up. You're going in. Like they just found some random guy, and they're like, all right, here we go.
And it was like Willie Beeman reading the newspaper in any given Sunday.
We got a third-string quarterback that's not going to produce bleep.
Incredible. Michael in Atlanta. Michael, what's up?
Hey, happy holidays to you guys and your families.
Likewise.
Tiki, I wanted to add something, and this is a perfect segue talking about draft picks. I wanted to add something to your chatting about the Rams and their their method of getting to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it's a special one. But I think ultimately Sean McVay bet that a second or a third or a fourth round pick in his organization with his coaching skills and his staff's coaching skills
yep.
would outperform a higher pick. And they got rid of that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's a bit of genius. It won't work everywhere. Case in point, our New York teams. And I think it was also like a perfect combination and a set of circumstances that allowed them to take that method. But that, I just think that's kind of fascinating that they took that approach.
Yeah, no, it was smart. I think he empowered, like, some of these vets, Von Miller being one. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some of these other ones that just kind of popped onto that team. And
Odell
helped them win a Super Bowl. Odell helped them get there, obviously.
Ramsey,
get hurt.
Jalen Ramsey.
So it was all these vets who you can stroke their ego a little bit. And
yes.
And I know this because John Gruden tried to do this with me when I retired. Like, we need a guy like you. I want you in my locker room. You're the kind of baller, blah, 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 blah. It makes you feel good about yourself. Like, we can win a championship because you're with us now. We need a veteran like you. And Sean McVay was great at that. And he got a bunch of these guys to come over and via trade or whatever it was. And they helped, because of their acumen still, helped them win Super Bowl. And that's it's huge for the Rams, especially with the Rams newly moving to L.A. There's so many other things to do in Los Angeles that, I mean, I we know they don't care about the Chargers.
No.
Right? You talk to Justin Herbert, and he says you got to go on like a silent count at home.
Which is crazy.
It's just insane. But so the only way to get interest is to be a winner. And so they've sold out to win a Super Bowl, and it worked. And now they have one of the best teams in football.
Might win another this year.
Right. So it's odd because it's not the way that most teams go about building a contender.
It's a dangerous thing to try to copy.
It's very dangerous because if you miss on any of that stuff, Odell Beckham's too old or Von Miller just can't get around the edge any longer and you suck.
Or Stafford.
Now you have nothing to replace the cupboard with.
Yep. 888-808-1019. John in St. Louis. John, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Merry Christmas. Before I get to the Christmas movie point, a jet tax is absurd. This isn't 2011, 2012, Rex Ryan running in the mouth, and we're actually like a relevant franchise.
Right.
We both suck. how they even could concoct that and think that's a good idea is absurd. But anyway, one you haven't touched on that's an outstanding Christmas movie that everybody overlooks is Gremlins. That's top tier.
Come on, John.
I love Gremlins.
Gremlins is a great movie. It's not a Christmas movie. What are we doing?
The whole movie revolves around Christmas. The Gremlin was purchased as a Christmas gift.
That's right.
The whole fight takes place on Christmas Day.
But this is true. He bought the gift as a Christmas gift.
Okay.
He did. Went in the little Chinese shop, right?
Yeah.
And then he bought it from the kid.
No, I understand that, but what is the big a Christmas movie to me? It's not the setting isn't Christmas, the storyline is Christmassy.
Well, the Gremlin was a gift. It was a Christmas gift.
But then the Gremlins come along. Nothing about that after is anything to do with Christmas.
Sure.
Right, you feed it after midnight, it goes crazy.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
Is Home Alone a Christmas movie?
I struggle with Home Alone, but the kid is left Home Alone for Christmas. So, yes, it is a Christmas
movie. But after it's Christmas, does Christmas have anything to do with the movie?
No, mm-hmm. No.
Cut some of the ornaments and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the props
in the background.
The props he used to get after him.
The whole thing is the mother's not with her son on Christmas.
Home Alone is absolutely borderline. There's no doubt about it.
I just saw this on some social post the other day. Like, I never realized how he got left.
It's like the daughter.
Talk about the uncle conspiracy theory?
No.
Oh,
no, no.
No, the cousin is responsible for counting the kids.
Yes, but there's a kid that comes in, and so he touches his head, and so they think it's him, and so they get the count right. But I never knew why. It's like, dude, you're going to the airport. How do you not know your kid's not on the plane? And I just saw this thing so when they spill the drink,
yeah,
Kevin's ticket is in the trash, so his ticket gets thrown away. So when they get on the plane, they're not missing a ticket.
Oh,
so they don't realize that he's not there because it's not like you have an extra ticket and no kid.
And if he was there, they would have been in a whole other set of problems.
Right. How you get a ticket?
Right. How you getting the ticket?
So that's how,
like today.
That's how he got left.
That's the most asinine part of that movie too is the night before you're leaving for Christmas on a plane. Who was allowing their cousins and uncle and everybody to sleep over.
That's right.
And do that. Your house is a mess
make
before
your,
you
make
go
your
away.
Own way to the airport.
Exactly. We'll see you at LaGuardia.
But also, you didn't leave a razor behind. It's your child. At no point did you check for Kevin. Like, in the car, when you get to the airport, there was baggage claim. There's no point where you say, where is my son?
Right.
I know you're late. I know you're running through the airport. But again, it's not a bottle. It's not toothpaste. It's a human. How do you not look for him?
Look, I think we stretched the truth with some of these Christmas
parties. They were halfway to Paris before they noticed.
Yeah. I thought they were going to someplace.
No, they're going to Paris.
No, Paris was Home Alone 2.
No, Paris is Home Alone.
No, Home Alone, they're going to an island. In,
the island of stupidity, which you live on. They're Paris.
No, they're
Home
not
Alone
Paris.
Is Paris.
No, they're not. They're in a warm weather environment.
They go to Paris, as people like Tiki, rich people would say. Yes, it's Paris.
You're
look
wrong, and that's fine. 888-808-101.
I'm wrong.
Andrew and Edison. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I was calling about the Grinch movie. I know that other caller mentioned the garbage chute, which is correct, but that was the second time she went up. The first time she went up, she did climb by herself.
There's
a little
climb.
Scene in the movie showing for like 15, 30 seconds of her climbing the mountain and then looking down.
That's absurd.
She did climb the first time.
Andrew, yes, she's not trained for that.
Yeah, how is she just a naturally great climber?
This shows like a rocky path kind of thing. You got to remember the beginning of the movie, too. Her brother and the friends climbed the mountain and got scared by the Grinch. Mm. So it's actually somewhat.
Maybe
accessible.
It's something that they do. And maybe who's. Are good at climbing.
Parents can't watch
don't
his
know.
Kids.
By the way, it is Paris, France.
All right, so I was wrong. Home Alone, they do go to Paris. It was Miami for Home Alone 2. So I actually missed up the movies, and I was saying Tommy mixed them up. I mean.
You're wrong.
Hold on now. The mom gets all the way to Paris before flying back?
They go all the way to Paris, and then she has to fly back. They discover that Kevin is missing halfway to Paris.
To Paris. On the plane.
Did we lock the door? Did we do this? Did we do that? Oh, I left the garage door open. No, dummy. You left your child in the attic.
This is where I'm confused. Where the hell is she when she drives back with John Candy?
She couldn't get a direct flight back.
It was a direct flight back she couldn't get.
So then the polka king of Sheboygan, John Candy, they got to drive her back.
So they were going flew from Paris to where?
I forgot where she re-landed.
Somewhere near Chicago.
That doesn't matter. Yeah. It was just not Chicago.
Well, this is where it matters.
I think it was Wisconsin.
In what
like
universe is there a direct Paris to Milwaukee flight?
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Paris to Scranton.
That.
What?
Right.
Where are those flights?
Eventually taking a flight and a van ride from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Come on, guys. She flew to Scranton from Paris. She couldn't get a direct one back to Chicago.
And you know what the and I love the movie, but it just drives me crazy besides the obvious
plot.
Oh, no,
Dallas.
Dallas.
So back to Dallas, direct to Dallas, then a jump to Scranton, then a van ride with the Polinskis.
All right, so at least she got Dallas to Scranton. That I can live with.
Right.
There's no chance in hell Christmas time is direct flights from Paris to Scranton.
Yeah, Dallas. Dallas to Scranton. Now we know. Now we know the journey.
Yes, we got it.
So speaking of the journey, obviously the mom, Catherine O'Hara, this always drives me nuts. She does all of this to get back to her son. She gives up jewelry. She does all these flights, these connecting flights. The chooch husband stays back in Paris. She beats the rest of them by like 3 seconds. They got there 5 seconds after her. What? She might as well have just stayed with them.
That's true.
This poor woman. She got 3 seconds to be with her son, and then these idiots come back to eat pizza and wreck the house.
You've talked me out of Home Alone. It sucks.
Am I wrong, though?
No, the movie sucks.
And I love John Hughes, but could you have had them show up the next day?
Why do we like Home Alone?
Why? Because it makes you think about, you saw it when you were a kid.
And you thought about being
home
alone.
And it makes you think about what you would have done if you were home alone
no
as
doubt.
A kid.
No doubt.
That's why.
All this proves that Tommy's seen it too many times as an adult.
I know.
It sucks. Philip,
by the way, it's my daughter, Brooklyn's favorite movie franchise.
I was going to say something about the Mets.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Philip.
Are the Mets going to get somebody for, Steve Holmes, they're trying to make a trade with Arizona.
For who?
Ketel Marte.
For that guy, Marte.
That guy. He's only a perennial all-star.
Right.
Look, I mean, we'll have to see. We don't know what kind of money they're going to spend, Philip. All I got to do is thank you for being the quintessential WFAN caller. Yeah. Big Home Alone take. Get right in there with the Ketel Marte to the Mets. That's why this station is still the best. That's why it's the best. Look, as far as Ketel Marte, here would be my only question. What the hell did you trade for Simeon for if you're trading for Ketel Marte? Because I thought the whole point of Simeon was to play. Now, Marte's obviously better. Right. But do you, are you flipping Simeon at that point? I don't know. That would just seem like the Mets truly... You know what we talked about last year?
Yeah, that would seem like they're just throwing whatever, trying to get at the stick on the wall.
We talked about this with firing Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks. We talked about them. Oh, do they even have a plan? Do they not have a plan? If you just now traded for Ketel Marte after your big Nimmo move with Simeon, it tells me you didn't have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You're just trying to clear salary.
Exactly.
And that might be, honestly, what the plan is.
Yeah.
To clear salary.
Yeah. It could be.
I think they just want to be versatile, and they have a bunch of guys that could play multiple positions. Like, you could bring in Marte, he could play second, Beatty could play first, Simeon could play third, Polanco could DH. Like, I think that David Stearns just wants guys that could play multiple positions because they could, you know, they're puzzle pieces.
Ugh. I mean, I don't love this offseason.
There are six Home Alone movies.
Six?
Yeah.
What?
Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4, Home Alone, The Holiday something, and Home Sweet Home Alone.
Who saw these?
I don't know.
Well, McCulkey is only in...
He's only in two.
Yeah.
And the biggest star from any of them is Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
He's in Home Alone still?
He's the little brother, or the little cousin.
Cousin.
That really? Piece
that wets the bad, yeah.
I thought his debut was in Succession. I didn't know he had stuff before then.
Mm.
Wow.
He's got stuff in between, too.
Good for Kieran. Good actor. Better than Macaulay. Matt in Smithtown. Matt, what's up? Matt?
Hey, if the Giants lose this week...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
And to the Raiders, doesn't that mean Jackson Dart is not who we think he is? And it's almost worse than you might just want to take Mendoza with that number one pick anyways.
But Matt, let me ask you this. If the Giants lost and got the number one pick and could trade and get another extra pick next year, isn't it better to examine Dart for one more year and then you have two firsts the following year in a deeper quarterback class?
Yeah, that definitely is.
I guess, but
if- I guess. The Giants have been in quarterback hell.
You can't be turning on Jackson Dart already.
What are we talking about?
Right, because it's not what's happening is not his fault. By the way, SNY, thank you for 2 years of airing our show, Evan and Tiki. We said goodbye to it yesterday because Evan is on vacation. But this will be the last time that Evan and Tiki is on SNY. Yeah. When you come back to SNY, it will be Craig, the Craig Carton Show with
Chris McGonagall.
What's his name, the other guy?
Oh, Pete Hoffman.
Yeah, no.
No?
The co-host, I forget his name.
Lou Gower?
No.
Al Cintron.
What did Bad Tiki call him? I mean, Bad Tiki knew his name, but I can't, I can't remember his name now.
McGonagall?
No, McMoogle.
McDougal?
Chris McGonagall.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that will be on Afternoon Drive. So we thank you very much for all of your support around our show.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And if you thought I was an issue in the SMY suite at Met Games, just wait till you see how many chicken fingers Chris and Craig eat. You won't have any left. 888-808-1019. Leo in Bay Ridge. Leo, what's up?
Loogie. Yo, guys, what's going on? Listen, they can get a few points across. I'm a big fan of you guys' show. Listen, first of all, Loogie, your boy Stern does not know what he's doing, all right, behind the wheel. Listen, you don't go give Quintana his $4 million. You don't go give Seve what he wants, bro. Why don't you go give Matas on $1 million, all right? Last year's team was 2 wins away from making the World Series. There were a few complimentary and maybe a 2-starter from being the best team in baseball going into the season. And you go and get cute and go give Frankie Montas $55 million? Are you guys serious? Another point. Last year's team had chemistry. You don't just go give a guy $1 billion and say you're positive Tommy and they're going to win ball games.
Leo, enough. All right, we get it. All right, you roll it out on a napkin. You're a Yankee fan. That's great. Enjoy your Christmas. I mean, he's talking about last offseason. He's not even talking about this offseason. He's talking about Frankie Montas.
Mm-hmm. He's got good points, though.
Did he? What was his best point?
The chemistry was messed up by signing Juan Soto?
No, absolutely not.
You don't think so?
No, I think the chemistry was hurt by the losses of a J.D. Martinez, mm-hmm. by a Jose Iglesias, by a Harrison Bader. There were locker room leaders that were not kept, and they did not bring in any kind of leadership. And that's why you're seeing guys like Simeon brought in, who's a good leader, as one. Polanco, who's been in the playoffs a lot. And I think they're trying to get that vibe back from 2024.
With all new people.
Correct. And they got rid of Nimmo, obviously, and Pete and Jeff.
It sounds like at his core, Leo is gearing up to be a new big-time caller to After Hours.
Oh, I hope he does, because I couldn't tell if he was putting me on or not, or if he was just, you know, whatever, being a Met fan. But
I couldn't tell if he thought you were me again.
Oh, you're right. That's exactly what it was.
Maybe.
No, had to be, because why would you be directly talking to me?
Do you think this will continue?
Yes.
Into the new
year? I said this the other day on the Lou Gower. I said, if Sean says something in the midday, that is Sean. Don't think it's me at night. And if I say something at night, it's Tommy. It's not Sean. We're separated now. We're not Waldorf and Stadler and the Muppets. In the
positive
balcony.
Tommy.
I am me, you are you.
And there was somebody yesterday that thought you were me again that's worked in the business. David Brody. You guys know this name?
Yeah, so we played a song of his on the air yesterday that he sent into Evan. And David Brody is responsible for Who Let the Mets Out. He used to work at Z100.
Yeah.
Z Morning Zoo, the morning show. I forget if that's
He hit
name,
me but. Up on Twitter thinking I was you.
Well, what do you mean? He called you Tommy?
No, he just said, hey, I'm trying to call in, answer the phone. He thought I was you answering the phones. I said, I'm off. He was trying to get on the air with
you
guys.
I don't think that's necessarily confusing. I think he's just trying to get on the air, so he might have hit me up as well.
You're too good to look at.
No. I'm not staring at Twitter during the show and my at mentions to see, you know, who hates me or whatever you're doing.
Oh, yeah, you never do that at all.
By the way, didn't somebody the other day at a Christmas party take a picture with you thinking it was me?
Correct. Correct.
Are you serious?
Yeah, somebody came up
here.
No. It was, I went to a thing with some of my old colleagues that were over at SiriusXM. And the guy came up to me and said I was Tommy and wanted to take a picture of me. And had somebody else who works at SMY take a picture of me, says he watches me, Tommy Lou Gower, on SMY every day. And I let him think it was Tommy. Mm. That was a fun time. Tommy, you gained some weight. That's all I would say.
Yeah, when you find that post, it's tagged and it's not you.
Yeah, exactly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.